Glory to God. Glad you're all here today. God is good, isn't he? He loves us, and that's why he sent his son to die for us. He loved us so much. God so loved the world. We cannot imagine the love of God. We cannot imagine how great his love is. Would you give your son? He gave his only begotten son for our redemption, for us to be born again. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We're going to talk again about the first and last Passover because we're having communion today. And this portion of scripture has a lot to do with our partaking of the communion that we have that speaks of the blood of Christ that was shed. He is the Lamb, you know. Praise the Lord. The Bible calls him the Lamb of God. He is the Lamb. Glory to God. Let's turn in our Bibles to Exodus 12. And before we start, we're going to ask the Lord to bless the word. We just thank you, Lord, for the precious word of God. And we pray right now, Father, that your anointing will be upon this message and that you will bless our hearts and help us, Father, just to feel the spirit of this word of God that is so powerful. Thank you, Lord, for your love to us and for your dying on the cross for us so willingly. We praise you and love you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So this portion of scripture takes place when the children of Israel have been in bondage over there in Egypt for 430 years. 430 years. They went there. Most of you know your Bible. You know that. They went there because there was a great famine in Israel. And they went down there because Joseph had been sent down there. God had a reason he sent Joseph down there, didn't he? And Joseph had become a ruler, and then here comes his relatives down there. They didn't know that he was even alive. But God provided food for them and to stay there. Right at the first of their stay, they didn't have it so bad. But then after about the first 30 years, they were not persecuted because they were the relatives of Joseph, and they had all their stuff, and they're finding more and more things about Israel being there in that area, north in the northern part of Egypt. So we're going to begin reading with verse 1, and God sent a deliverer, and that was little Moses. And the first part of this book, we see about little Moses being in the bulrush in a little basket, and then he grew up and became a great leader known as the princess's son. And God had all of that planned so that he would become the leader. And at this point in chapter 12, we are already now seeing that Moses has come. He had to flee because he killed one of the Egyptians. Then he had to come. He came back because God told him to go back there and lead the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. So we're going to read verse 1. And the Lord spoke unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. So there they were in Egypt. Aaron, Moses' brother, was helping him. Moses was going to be the main leader, and Aaron would be the high priest that God had ordered. And they were going to be trying to leave the land of Egypt. And God is warning them that he's setting up a whole new calendar. That's what it means there when he says this will be the first month. The first month of the year for them was Nisan. Nisan. And so it's like we want to look at this as we study it. We're going to look at it like God dealing with us. When we come to know the Lord, it's a whole new thing, isn't it? It's no longer following the pattern of Egypt. Egypt represents the world, the worldly things of this life, but it's learning to walk and be as God directs. And so that's what we're seeing here in these scriptures. They're all typical of how God has worked in us. And so God told Moses to speak in verse 3, speak you unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for house. Praise the Lord. This was all set up. Notice the words, every man, every man. The men were the heads of the household, and so there was going to be a way out, a way of redemption, a way to be delivered from Egypt because of this every man following the things that God said and fulfilling this so that all of his family would be spared. And that's so, you know, with us today. It tells us in John 3:16, what does it say? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And that's what has been given to us. Praise the Lord. We have a new start. We are a new creation in Christ Jesus. As it says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man, and the women are included, praise the Lord, be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And that's what was happening with Israel here in this chapter that we're reading. They were slaves down there. They were persecuted terribly, many of them killed. And here now God is saying something new is going to take place. You're going to be led out of this land. You're going to be delivered. And so he's telling them exactly what to do. The first thing before they even get started is the Passover. And of course, the Passover represents, in the Old Testament, it represents the Lamb of the Lord Jesus Christ, which we sang about this morning. O Lamb of God, O Lamb of God. He died. He was the Lamb that was slaughtered for us that we might have redemption. Praise the Lord. We might have salvation, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he hath saved us. Oh, I love that scripture. You know that because I quote it quite a bit. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So notice in verse 3, again, it says, speak you unto all the congregation. Does God limit his love and his salvation to just certain people? No, he says, speak to everybody. Speak to the whole congregation. That's what the world, the Lord says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. That's what the word of God teaches. And so we try to be a witness to others in this world. Even if it's only by our lifestyle, we can be a witness to others. I pray for my neighborhood all the time. I live right around the corner over there. But I know that there are people on both sides of me that really need more of the Lord in their lives and across the street. And I pray for them, Lord, help them, help them. And so the whole congregation, it's speaking here, speaking in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. That's exactly the plan of God for the Lamb of God. Every man has to have the lamb. And mankind, it means. Mankind, all as we think of it. Mankind, every one of the human beings born to this earth have to be born again. They have to accept what the lamb did. This poor little helpless lamb, just a little lambkin, just a little young lamb, speaks of Jesus. He was totally dedicated to the will of the Father, totally dedicated to do the Father's will. Oh, how precious, how precious. Are you glad? Can you say, thank you, Jesus, for doing that for me? Oh, thank you, Lord, for bringing salvation to the world. Nobody else would have done it. But Jesus, the Son of God, came forth to cause this redemption. It says, they shall take to them every man a lamb. Notice that word take. People have to take Jesus, don't they? They can't just say, oh yeah, there's you know, the Bible says there's a Jesus. I don't know if there is. Okay, they won't have Jesus. If you want to have Jesus in your life, you have to take him. You have to believe and receive him and have him come into your life and be part of your life. It is so important. And notice that they, in verse, the latter part of that verse 3, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, they don't maybe have any kids or maybe just one, let him and his neighbor next unto him take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your account for the lamb. Have we eaten of the lamb? You know that this, and you probably know this, most of you do, but this Passover lamb was baked and completely made so they could eat it. They ate it. They ate it with haste. That speaks to us of what we have to do. We receive Jesus as our Lord, as our Savior, but we need to learn to eat of this. Eat of this preciousness that God is to us by sending his Son. Eat of it all the time, like in our lives. We're going through trials and tests. Just keep calling on the Lord. Just keep on worshiping the Lord, letting him be number one in your life and just loving him. Just tell him how much you love him. I hope all of you do that. Just say, Jesus, I love you, Jesus. He wants to hear that from us. He wants to hear us how much we love him. And we teach about the bride of Christ. The bride of Christ is going to be the group of people that love him much. They really love him. They love him and they let him be the love of their life. Praise the Lord. Amen. So, verse 4, then if the household is too little, then you take others outside of your household and you talk and you help to feed them the lamb. That even again is like a witness, isn't it, to us today? We have so much. Did you ever think about how much knowledge you have? How much knowledge you have of the Word of God? You have a lot of knowledge. There are a lot of people out there that don't know all the things you know. But praise the Lord, we can feed those little lambs that don't know too much, those little people that don't know too much. And some are rejecting Christ too. So in verse 5, your lamb shall be without blemish. Now this is one of the things. There was no fault in Jesus. He didn't deserve to die. There wasn't anything mean and hatred about him that anyone should have said, crucify him, crucify him, we don't want him. But they rejected him. They rejected the precious, holy Son of God. The Jews did. And many people today reject the Son of God. Oh my. But he's a lamb. Notice that he is a lamb. And what is he called in the New Testament? John 1, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. See, it just carries right on. In the book of Revelation, he's called the Lamb of God, the Lamb of God. It's important to realize what it means that Jesus is the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. He's without blemish. He is the perfect Son of God. He never makes a mistake. You know, a lot of times we feel like that. We go through a trial that's really, really hard. And we think, well, Lord, why did you allow that? But our Lord is perfect. And he never makes mistakes. And that's something that's hard for us to grip sometimes. And it says that this little lamb was to be a male of the first year. And of course, Jesus Christ was a male, wasn't he? He was a human being, a human man. He was made. And it was of the first year. The first year means he was young. He was young. Jesus Christ was only about 33 when he was crucified. He was very young for this situation. You shall take it out from the sheep. That speaks of separation. Jesus Christ was a separated person. There was no one in the whole world like him. There was no one like him. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, he showed forth his grace and his mercy, didn't he? Praise the Lord. He showed what he was going to do. He was going to redeem us by actually giving his whole life, his perfect holy life. And I think all you realize this, but just bear with me. If he had not been perfect, he could have not been the sacrifice. He was bearing everybody else's sins, all of the human race's sins. God didn't ask for one of us to become the Savior of the world because we have a sinful nature. But praise the Lord. He was a lamb without blemish. There in verse 5, he was a male of the first year, a very young person, and was taken out. He was separated for God's use. Separated for God's use there. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Is this going to work for you? Okay. Okay. It's okay. Praise the Lord. Let's go ahead now and look at our verse 7. It's verse 6. You shall keep him up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. This keeping it up, that was like the thing that was happening in Jesus' life as he was became old enough to be the Savior and he was going here and there. That period of time that was left there, he was kept up. He didn't die when he was 30. He didn't die when he was 31. God, in his plan, it was going to happen when he was 33. And that was the plan of God. And so, in verse 6, you shall keep it up till the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. It's kind of we know that it doesn't mean what I'm going to apply it to, but who was it that killed Jesus? The congregation of Israel, they were yelling, saying, kill him, crucify him. And so that's just kind of interesting there because the animals that they killed were killed by the Israelites. That was the plan of God, that they would kill these little animals and they would have those there as their offering. But it happened again. And when did it happen? In the evening. He died about 3 p.m. in the evening. He was a sacrifice for the world, the sacrifice for our sins. Beautiful, beautiful thing. Verse 7, and they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the house wherein they shall eat it. That was what they did to protect. Once that blood was applied to the doorway, when the angel of death was going to pass over, there in Egypt, God would protect that family. That family and that house were protected because they had the blood on the doorpost. How are we going to be protected from God's judgment? The blood of Jesus Christ. If you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you are safe. You are going to go to heaven. Praise the name of Jesus. So that is the way that the Word of God teaches us. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father except by me. That's what he said. And so that's how important it is for us to know the Lord Jesus as our Savior. And notice in verse 8, this is still talking to the Israelites as they cooked, they got the little lamb, they killed the little lamb, they roasted the little lamb. It says, they shall eat the flesh and that night roast with fire. Now, that's interesting also because to roast this little lamb with fire speaks of God's judgment on Christ. Christ was the little lamb that was sacrificed, but Jesus Christ died for the sins of the whole world, and that's the judgment of God that came upon him. Came upon him. And yet he did not flinch. He did not say, and you know, I don't know if you know this, but he could have said, I went down off this cross. I'm not doing this. He could have said that. He was the Son of God. He didn't. Why didn't he? Because he was fulfilling the plan of God. So God's judgment was upon him, and he died a terrible death. And notice, and unleavened bread. They were to eat unleavened bread. Unleavened bread is bread that doesn't have anything that makes it rise. It's just what Israelites eat a lot of this unleavened bread. And it speaks of no sin. See, sin in a person is what makes it's seen, isn't it? And it grows. But Jesus Christ did not have sin because he was not just a human being. He was the Son of the Lord God. Praise the Lord. So let's go ahead and look a little bit further. Notice when it says every man is to partake. Why is that? Because Romans 3:10 says this, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's not a one of us that doesn't need the Lord Jesus Christ in our life. We need Christ. It's the only way to really go on in life. Life is hard. I can tell you about some things that are hard for me in my life. And in Romans 3:10, it says, there is none righteous, no, not one. So, you know, we can try to be good. We can say, well, I'm a good person. I do good things. That's not what saves people. That's not what Jesus has declared. He said, he that believeth in me shall have everlasting life. So it's important that we realize how important. Notice in verse 3 of our chapter that we're studying here, how that it says they were to take every man a lamb. And I went over that a while ago, but just think about that, how that it was important that each one of them did the thing that God told them to do. So my salvation, my understanding of the word, and my acceptance of Christ does not save another individual. But Jesus Christ did that for us. In Deuteronomy 11:19, it says, and you shall teach them, your children, speaking of them when thou settest in thine house, when you walk in the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. That was what Israel was declared to do, was to teach their children, let the children know, so they too can be born again, can be saved. It's very important. Ephesians 6:4 says, bring your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So there's a way for a child to become a godly child, and that is bringing them where they can hear the word of God. It's very, very important. Praise the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. God is so good. In verse 5 there, we saw the perfection that the Lord Jesus Christ has. He's the Lamb of God that doesn't have any blemish. He was the only one that could die for us. You and I couldn't. We have sinned. We have sinned in the past. But Jesus was that sinless person. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise the name of Jesus. This little lamb that was taken was scrutinized. It couldn't even have a freckle on it that was different than it shouldn't be. It had to be perfect. This little lamb had to be perfect. In the time of Jesus, right up around Bethlehem, remember the shepherds in the field that saw the angels and Jesus was about to be born, you know? Well, that's where they raised the lambs. That right there up around Bethlehem, they raised all the lambs that would be taken down to Jerusalem and slaughtered for their feasts and their things that they did. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, he was 33 years old. He was the perfect Son of God. There was no blemish. In the Old Testament, it says, I think it's Isaiah 53 that says, there was no sin of any kind in the Lord Jesus Christ. There was nothing that was wrong in him. He was the perfect Son of God. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. glory to God. So the lamb was scrutinized to see if there was any blemish. I'll get it said in a minute. Praise the Lord. Let's go down to verse 7 of this chapter. And they shall take of the blood, and they shall strike it on the two side posts of the upper door post of the house wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat, they shall strike the blood on the two posts and on the upper door. I want you to look, think of this. If I went back there to that doorway and I put blood on the two side posts and then I put blood across the top, it would almost be like a cross, wouldn't it? That's what the Lord Jesus did. He hung on the cross and his blood was poured out. And that's why the Lord says back here in 1491 BC, this is when this is written that I'm reading to you. That's why the Lord said to be careful about that, to put the blood on the doorposts and on the side posts of the house. Praise the Lord. And those that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and come through that door of salvation, they're going to receive the Lord into their life. And the Bible says we have eternal life through believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the name of Jesus. Notice in verse 8, they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire. Now, they had to cook the lamb. They had to roast it with fire. Who cooked the Lamb of God? The judgment of God was upon him. He was bearing the sin of the whole world, and the judgment that fell on him, the nails in his hands and the nails in the feet and them cutting his side open and the crown on his head, oh, that always just almost hurts me when I think of them cramming that crown on his head. All of that showed the judgment of God on him. And unleavened bread, as we read a while ago, it speaks of no sin in Jesus Christ. There was nothing in there of Jesus that was wrong. But it was with bitter herbs because it was the judgment and suffering of the cross. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So Jesus paid the complete debt. You know what a lot of people that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ think? Okay, I received Jesus as my Savior, but now I have to make the right kind of payments to God. I have to do the right thing and walk real carefully because if I goof up, he's going to throw me out. That's not what the Scripture says. The Scripture says that we have everlasting life once we receive the Lord Jesus Christ. He completed the debt. He did everything that was necessary for our salvation. The blood of Jesus ran down on the ground and poured out. So, praise the Lord. We partake of that by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, accepting him as our Lord. He is in control, and we love him. We learn to love him so very, very much. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I have lots of notes, so sometimes I get carried away when I'm studying. But remember when Jesus was on the cross, what happened? Do you remember? The sky became totally black. And there was a great earthquake. What on earth was that? We might think. You know what it was? God the Father. He saw the sin that Jesus was carrying on himself right there. All the sin of the whole world. We can't imagine that. Even up into our day, through our day, if we pass on, clear on until Jesus comes again, all of that sin was there, and it was black. And God the Father turned his back on the Son of God. Praise the Lord. Notice in verse 8 there where it tells them that they are to eat of that bread, the unleavened bread. I'll just read you some of my notes. He said, they shall eat. We say, accept Jesus accept Jesus into your heart, in your life. That's how we eat of Jesus. You understand that? I can't eat my lesson here. I can't eat Jesus. He's not here. But I have eaten of Jesus by accepting the Word of God into my heart and becoming a Christian and believing in Jesus. In 1 Corinthians 10:17, it says, "We being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread." See, as we partake of Jesus, we accept him as our Savior, we have him ruling our life. That's not just salvation. He wants to be our friend, our person that is giving us the ideas for our life, what he wants in our life. Then we are being partakers of that bread, that spiritual bread. We're reading, when we read the Word of God, it's like eating a meal spiritually. It's a food, it's bread to us. This is such a wonderful lesson, it would take another hour, so I don't think I will do that, okay? But what did Jesus say? He said, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger." That's a good promise. Not talking about natural stuff. He's not talking about, now this is a promise to you, you're always going to have bread to eat. In another chapter, he says, "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." Praise the Lord. Verse 9, it tells us that they were not to eat of that bread raw. What does that mean? Ooh, I wouldn't like that. I wouldn't like to just eat old raw dough, would you? What it meant was, in talking about the Lord, it wasn't our responsibility to find the bread and eat the bread some way without the Lord dying for our sins. He died for us, and that's why that we have salvation. It's precious. Praise the Lord. We eat of Christ. We learn of the Word of God, and we eat the food that the Lord gives us spiritually through the Word of God. Praise the Lord. What I want to impress on you is that Jesus Christ has met all of our sins on the cross. He who knew no sin, the scripture says, was made sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.